The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, which can be found on page 983 of the Church Bible. Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Okay, so the song I've chosen to preach on is "All I Once Held Dear" or "Knowing You" by Graham Kendrick. And the Bible verses that are directly linked to the song are Philippians 3 verses 7 to 11. However, Katie spoke on those verses a few weeks ago, so if you want to and haven't already heard her sermon, just go to the website as soon as it is on the website, because it's not yet, and listen to it there. So therefore I chose to do the passage we've just heard from Matthew, because it speaks to me in the same way as the song. Both the song and the Bible passage challenge me to know God. In the Bible passage, Jesus challenges the disciples in verse 15 to tell him, "Who do you say I am?" Jesus' direct question emphasises that the disciples must personally know and understand God. By asking the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" after the first question in verse 13 of, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" Jesus emphasises that it's more important that the disciples discover who Jesus is for themselves rather than worrying about who others say Jesus is. And I realised that Jesus is asking me that question too. And actually, that I discovered that the answer I would give would probably not be the one he would want. I'd probably say something along the lines of, "You're the Messiah, the Son of God, Good Shepherd, etc., etc." And this answer, although it's right, it has something very important missing. I've demonstrated that I know a lot of truths about God, but I don't actually know God, which is a bit of a problem because Christianity is about a relationship and not just a set of beliefs. So I tried to find ways on how to know Christ more. And the first thing that helped me to know Jesus better was by changing my goal in Bible reading. Often, when I read the Bible, I saw knowing the Bible better as my goal instead of knowing Christ. Or, as the well-known Christian writer Alistair McGrath puts it, I saw the Bible as a source of information and not just a source of formation. Last year, I decided to read through the Bible, and this meant that I read fairly large chunks of the Bible every day. However, it was not as beneficial as it could have been because I did not spend sufficient time meditating on the Bible passages I just read. This is where I found the Swedish Bible study method really useful, because it forced me to focus on God through the "what does this passage tell you about God" bit, and focus on what the passage actually means to me through the "what does this passage teach me about me" section. And I'm now going to run through three different ways in which the Bible should impact me. Firstly, reading the Bible should impact my mind. Looking back at the passage, if I, like Peter, declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I need to understand what I'm saying about Christ. To really know Christ, I need to understand who he was and the significance of what he did. McGrath suggests that a good way to know God to the best of the mind's capabilities is to go through each of the titles of Christ and to understand what they mean. For example, in John 15, when Jesus says he's the true vine, do we actually know what that means? Secondly, reading the Bible should impact my imagination. And I've always been a bit suspicious of this because I'm much more of a logical thinker, and I think sometimes there is a danger in embellishing passages. But actually, I discovered that using my imagination has really helped me. And one situation where imagination has helped me a lot is in the Passion narratives. I always use my imagination when reading these stories to imagine me as looking in. And although this was good, it did mean that I didn't get to experience the full hopelessness that the disciples would have felt and the full joy in the resurrection. as I always knew it was going to happen. So I decided to imagine myself as one of the disciples. And this was a really good way, because in that way I saw Jesus on the cross, and he would be someone I've completely given up my life for. And it would seem like it was a waste. He just failed. He was dying. And then I was able to experience the full joy when seeing the resurrection as a disciple, because I didn't expect it to happen. And thirdly, reading the Bible should impact my heart. I could be great at imagining biblical passages and know all the facts about Christ, but if I didn't respond to that, then I might not even be a Christian. I need to let what I discover change me. For example, with the resurrection, I should be filled with the hope and joy I gain from my imagination and understanding of it. I'd like to conclude with an illustration. A few weeks ago, I was really excited to see the partial solar eclipse in Britain, so I did everything I could to prepare. I went to the teacher about missing lessons. I bought sunglasses, not sunglasses, that would not be safe, the solar eclipse glasses from online, and I sold them to my friends as well, which was always good. And I looked online for the optimum eclipse time, and then the big day arrived, and it was cloudy. It was so cloudy, I couldn't even tell where the sun was. And I was so disappointed. As I said earlier, I take my Bible study really seriously. Preparation is important, but one challenge to me is to ensure that the Bible study does not suffice in itself, to always ensure that my heart's desire is to know Christ more, and to be disappointed if I don't see the sun.